Good morning, everybody. How are you doing this morning? Always like to start out. I teach a lot, and so whenever I go through and teach, I like to go through and get a feel for who's in the room. So we usually go around and do introductions. It's going to be a little bit tougher to do that today with so many people in the room, so I have an idea. So I'm Andrew Connell, and then I'll let you introduce yourself by just everybody say your name at one time. Fantastic. It's like we know each other. This is great. In this session, I want to talk about creating content-centric sites with web content management or publishing sites inside of SharePoint Server 2010. This session is not, I'll go through some level setting in just a minute to make sure that the right people are in the room and that you're going to get what you're expecting. Really quick, my name is Andrew Connell. I'm an MVP for SharePoint Server. Have a blog, have a Twitter account you can see up there. And then also co-founder of a company called Critical Path Training, where we do SharePoint education and training for hands-on classes, online classes. If you're interested, come see me afterwards. The web content management area we're going to talk about today is kind of an area that's near and dear to me. This is kind of my little niche in SharePoint Server around the enterprise content management, web content management space. What we're going to cover today is just a quick overview of what web content management is in SharePoint 2010, understanding the different roles that are involved in a web content management site or a publishing site. I use the two terms interchangeably, web content management and publishing site. And I do that because when you go to implement one of these things, whenever you look at the labeling and the marketing and all that kind of stuff, they always refer to this as web content management or WCM. But the trick is the second you install SharePoint, you no longer see WCM anywhere. You don't see it in the SDK. You don't see it in the browser. You don't see it anywhere. So the reason for this is because web content management is more of a marketing term or an adjective that describes all the features and capabilities in SharePoint Server that Microsoft has added to SharePoint to create and facilitate the creation and management of content-managed sites, or what we're all familiar with even outside of the SharePoint platform are CMS-based systems, content management systems. What they do, what WCM is doing, all these capabilities, is it's helping us create things called publishing sites. So publishing sites, that's the noun. That's what we see inside of SharePoint once we've installed SharePoint. It's the publishing features, publishing capabilities, publishing site templates, all of that kind of stuff. So I want to make a distinction there between WCM and publishing. I use them interchangeably just because most people are used to seeing WCM, but really it's publishing. Then we're going to go through some things you have to think about in creating a WCM site or a CMS-based site. And then we get a little flicker. And then we'll go through and talk about creating and reviewing, managing content, and then also how to create new content types, new page types, and page templates. So let's just make sure that we're all on the same page. This conference is one of the first times this conference, or this not this session, but for the whole show, we decided to take not just the traditional developer and IT pro slash administrator sessions, and we wanted to add a new track called the solutions track, which was content that was more for the power user, the business manager, the technical business manager, the decision makers, stuff like that. So that's what this session's falling in. This is my more power user kind of solution session for the conference. So if you're a developer, if you're an administrator, if you're a web designer, this session's not really targeted to you. So I don't want you to kind of think that it's like, well, he didn't open Visual Studio. It's like, well, no, I have no plans to open Visual Studio. It's very strange and very odd for me not to open Visual Studio. But that's not what this session's all about. This is going to be more about how does an end user or content managers or subject matter experts, how are they going to go through and create these different sites, okay? So if that's not what you're looking for, there's plenty of other sessions going on right now that you could go dive into if you're interested. But I just don't want to mislead you and have anybody think that you're going to see something that you're not going to see. So, web content management. So, what web content management is, I mentioned a second ago, is to facilitate the implementation of a content managed site inside of SharePoint Server. we've all built a site before and worked in an organization where we need to go through and we have some sort of a content managed system that takes place. Unfortunately, it's not as clean and streamlined. The marketing group wants to get a new press release on our public-facing website. So what do? They draft it in a Word document, they email it over to the IT staff. The IT staff goes through and they create a new page using a template that they use for all their sites or for all the pages on their site. They add it to the website, the development website. They put a link in the navigation. They send an email over to the marketing guys that created the press release and said, go check this out. And what does the marketing team do? They look at the developers and they say, you stupid developers, that's not what we meant, blah, 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 we need it to work like this. The developers cut back to the marketing guys and say, well, you're stupid marketing people, you gave me this 4 meg bitmap, there's no way it should go on the browser, and you kind of start fighting back and forth, right? Eventually we either give up, or the page has reached a certain level to where this is what we want, this is acceptable. So then the developers send an email to the marketing person's manager or to the development manager, the site manager, and says, is this page okay to go live on the website? Somebody says, yes, it looks good. So then the developers go through and they box up the changes that they've made. They email those over to the administrator who runs the farm and says, at 3 o'clock in the morning, would you please go through and update the site with this information right here? And if there's any problems, here's my telephone number that you can call at 3 a.m. if there's problems. No mistake, I just happened to transpose to my phone number, so you won't get anybody at 3 a.m., but that's not my problem. That's your problem, Mr. Administrator, right? The whole idea behind a content management system, or CMS, is to facilitate this workflow process, to automate things a little bit more. Instead of calling the IT staff every time you want to create a new page, it makes a lot more sense to just say, why don't we empower the subject matter experts? Why don't we let them go through and manage the content, edit the content, put the content out on the site? Right? Instead of us having to go through and manage this stuff as the IT group. That's really what we want to have happen. The IT group's time is not going to be best spent by having them go through and create new content. They're the ones that need to go through and build the solution, put it out there, and kind of let the subject matter experts manage all their content. We shouldn't be writing the content as the dev staff because we don't know the subject matter as well. They know the products. They know the marketing message. They know all that stuff, so they should be doing it. However, they also don't understand style and business rules and all those kinds of things, so we're going to define the different rendering options to have a consistent look and feel, a consistent brand on our site. We're going to make sure that we put certain tools and capabilities and limitations in place so that only certain users can go through and author content and manage content in certain areas and make sure that we've designed an accessible site so that it meets our accessibility requirements. But like with anything with accessibility, you've got to go through and just designing the site isn't all that you can do. You need to do a lot more. The big thing you need to do is make sure that your content owners understand what it means to have an accessible site and what it means on their role to do it. We could all build an accessible site, but the second we turn it over to the subject matter experts, usually hell breaks loose and then there goes all of our accessibility. And then SharePoint gets a bad name for not being accessible. That's what the whole idea, that's the idea behind a content management system. And what Microsoft is trying to do with their web content management offering is to say the IT staff is essentially, they're going to build a little playground or a little sandbox, right? Once they build that sandbox and they put all the toys in it they need to put in there, they're going to hand it over to the subject matter experts. And they're going to be allowed to play as much as they want with all the toys they've been given. But they can't leave outside the sandbox and they can't go add any new toys. They need to go come back to us to add the new stuff. Okay? So a couple examples. Where could this be leveraged? You could use this in any different scenario. The most common one that we look at and we are most familiar with is probably the internet-facing anonymous site scenario. Right? There's plenty of really big and popular sites that we have that are of good web content management sites. Probably one of the, I guess, the coolest ones or the flashiest ones has got to be the Ferrari site, where they're based off of SharePoint 2007 web content management. There's plenty of other sites that are on there, too, that are public-facing that are doing that. The United Nations, conservation.org, we've got the big stimulus thing. I guess that we're not the only ones that do it in the U.S., but everybody's doing big stimulus packages. We have a website that the government stood up that's based on web content management to do the same thing, to kind of show people kind of how their money is being spent, right? Other examples of this is what you see in the bottom corner there, That's the Microsoft intranet. And so Microsoft uses web content management to provide, to facilitate their intranet. So things could be authenticated. Things could be locked down, different areas, and you only have access to certain special areas. But the whole idea behind this is to be able to have a more managed intranet, to have a more content that's being more managed, a more structured look and feel. We want to define how the site's going to be set up and how things are going to look. All right? There's a couple different roles that we can look at are who's going to be responsible, who's going to have different responsibilities inside of our content managed site. The first one is the consumer. In an internet-facing site, that's the anonymous user. That's everybody that just goes and hits the site to go get all of their data, to go see the content of the site. That's the vast majority of the people. As a little bit of a footnote here, when you're creating web content management sites, for those of you who've been doing SharePoint work before, what I found is that a lot of people that have been doing SharePoint development or SharePoint site customization or whatever, it takes a completely different frame of mind to do a web content management site. Because in a traditional SharePoint collaboration site, you're used to building an experience, either as a power user doing stuff with SharePoint Designer in the browser, or as a developer and building custom solutions, you're used to building something that is going to be used and consumed by many people. So many people are going to be writers, many people are going to be readers, and they're all going to be interacting with each other. But in a web content management scenario, you usually have a very small set of people who are going to be contributing to the content, but a very large set of readers. So it's very important that these contributors to the site, right, the people, the content authors or the subject matter experts, as I have there on the slide, it's important that these people understand how to interact with the site and how to add content, because a great number of people are going to go through and see this content. And it could be the presence or the entire presence for the site itself and the brand. So you want to make sure that your company has a good reputation by putting the right stuff out there. You've also got the content author subject matter expert. They're the ones that are going to be responsible for actually creating and adding the content and editing the content on the site. Once they've gone through and created content, managed it, and submitted it for approval, then you're going to have somebody who's going to be essentially kind of like the content manager or the content approver. He or she is the one that's going to know all, that's going to have the top-down view of the entire site and say, I know what stuff is allowed to be on the site. I know what needs to be, what process it needs to go through and make sure that there's a certain copy editing or a legal review that happens for certain things before they're published on the site. The fourth persona is going to be your owner, the site owner. And this is going to be pretty much like your primary customer. So traditionally on like an internet-facing site, it's going to be your marketing department, the ones that are going to be responsible for owning the site. Not the IT group, they simply built the site. But it's going to be the marketing group that's going to be responsible for going through and actually owning the site, owning the message for the company. So they're going to have the responsibility of who has access to add this content, modifying and stuff like that. Because you'll see later how we can lock things down. The last role that we have here are the developers and the designers. And it's their role to go through and to create the new custom components that we're going to need to go create new site, to create and implement new kinds of pages on the site. We could potentially need a different kind of a page. So we have press releases pages, but we may need a brand new kind of a page that's created. So that can be done by the power users. That can also be done by the designers. But the developers may need to get involved for doing any kind of custom development. Okay? I guess the last one that we didn't really mention, those are the administrators. They're the ones responsible for keeping the system up and running, things healthy, it's performing in a nice, good manner. But so I left those out by mistake. Now, when you go to create a content site, primarily a content-centric site, there's a lot of things that you need to go through and to keep in mind. The nice thing, though, that you look at with a web content management site in SharePoint 2010 is that if you've built a content-centric site or you've worked in a CMS system in any other product or any other platform, the process is basically the same. The concepts and recommendations that are issued by Microsoft are really true across all the platforms. It's nothing really too specific to SharePoint. So some of the things that you're going to need to do is first, you're going to need to obviously define all the major areas of the site. Do you have an About Us section? Do you have a marketing section? Do you have a product section? Do you have a news section? Stuff like that. You're going to define the different kinds of content that are in your site. So you may look at your products section, and you may be selling, let's just say, cars. Well, you're going to probably have a kind of a page. It's going to be like the overview page, right? So you're going to define the different data elements that could be on that page. Well, it's going to have a title, maybe the make and a model of the car. Maybe there's a picture associated with the car. Maybe there's a bunch of pictures. And then here's the main body of the description of the car. Then maybe you're going to want another page for the specifications on that car. So a lot more detail associated with it. So we're going to define all the different pieces. What's the engine type? What's the transmission type? What's the body? What's the chassis type? Those kinds of things. And then maybe you have even another place for reviews. So things like the different magazines that are out there and other reviewers of cars that are going to go through and write their reviews, and you'd like to pull some of that stuff in and show it on your site, right? Provided they're good reviews, right? So you're going to want to go through and define the different sections you have and then the kinds of content. Once you've gone through and you've defined the kinds of content, you then are going to go in and define the different rendering options. How should my site look? When someone wants to go through and use and create a new car page, a car section on my site, and they want to create an overview page, do they just have one option of what it's going to look like? Or do I say, create a car page, the overview page, but then here's three or four different rendering options that you can choose from. Maybe there's one with a picture on the left and the text wraps around the right, or vice versa. Maybe there's just one big image. Maybe there's lots of images. You get to choose on how you want this thing to be rendered. And the developers and really the power users can go through and they can add as many of these different renderings on a per page type as they want. You just have to have at least one so that we have something that we can actually render here, okay? You then are going to want to go through and define all the major roles or all the different actors that are going to serve in the site. So for instance, who has access to create these pages for new cars? Who has access to approve these things to be published? You can go through and define that stuff. You can also go through and define your approval process. So make sure that before the car pages are published or before the press release is published, I need to have a majority of 5 people in the legal department that I assign this to are going to look at this and say, yes, all of this stuff is okay. So I want to kick off a workflow process. SharePoint gives us a workflow process, approval process out of the box, but then we can also go through and create our own very easily using something like SharePoint Designer or Visual Studio. So if you want to get much more complex, you can use Visual Studio, or you can use some of the out-of-the-box stuff that we have in SharePoint Designer. And then finally, you want to develop some sort of a content-managed plan. Now, what I mean by this is that, is it okay for your site to stay up and have these product pages for your cars stay up the way they are forever without ever being modified or without ever being refreshed? Maybe you have a little bit of a requirement that says we really want to go in and modify the content on these pages every 3 months. Even if it's something minor, we still want to revisit it and make sure that all the content is going to be reviewed every 6 months, right, or every 3 months. Google and Bing and those other, and the big search engine, well, I guess I just named the two search engines, but Google and Bing are going to go through and when they go to index a site, they're going to look at the latest content. They're going to index the content that's changed. If content's stale and nobody's updating it, then it starts to fall off on the rankings typically, okay? So maybe you want to have some sort of a process that does that. Web content management and SharePoint is going to help you with all of these things, defining all of this different stuff. Now, once you've gone through and you've got a site that's already stood up here, the first thing people are going to want to do is say, how do I create a new piece of content? This is actually really straightforward here. What the users are going to do is they're going to go to this place in the site, go to the section of the site where they want to create that content, like the product section. And they're going to say, I want to create a brand new page. This is different from SharePoint 2007, how this works, because the first thing that they're going to get is just going to say, what's the name of the page you want to create? Not what kind of a page, not how do you want it to be rendered, but just what's the name of the page? So you say, I want to create a brand new car, the Ferrari 721, whatever it would be, right? So you go through and pick that, and when you say create, SharePoint's going to use a default page type and a default rendering for your site. Now, the nice thing is you can immediately go right in and say, you know, I'm not interested in using that one. This is a kind of a car. So let me switch this over to using a specific kind of a page. More specifically, let's say I want to use this rendering. So I want to use that kind of a page, which is going to be my car overview page. And then here's the rendering that I want to go through and use. Okay, so you can choose those two different pieces there. Then you're going to go through and just start adding content. When you go to add the content, it's like any other web form. You're just going to start filling in these blanks. So the developer or the designer has gone through and created this page rendering, and they've said, here are all the different areas. Up at the top is where the title goes. Over on one side, we're going to have a picture. Here's some information about the car, and then here's a little description that you want to do, right? Maybe I need to link it to some other page and say, I want you to now link to the specifications piece or the reviews piece or this other piece over here, all right? There's different tools that are available to us to do that. And then as the content author, I'm then going to say this page looks good. I could check it in, let somebody else check it out and make changes, or I could just check it in and say, let's submit this guy for approval for publication. When that happens, that's going to create a new task and assign that task to someone who's been assigned to the approvers group for that site. They're going to get an email notification. It's going to have a new task form, says you need to go through and approve this item. They look at the task. They'll see a link to the page. Click on it, go over, take a look at the page. Does everything look good? And they've got two buttons, reject and approve. So if they pick approve, the page is automatically published. Its version is incremented to version 1.0. The whole number of versions are going to be your published versions of pages, right? So when you create a page, it's version 0.1. Check it in, check it out, make changes, check it back in, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. We can go as high as we want. But when the page is published, that's when it'll go version 1.0. If we check out version 1.0 and start making changes to it, then it's going to be version 1.1, 1.2. But all the while that's happening, your consumers of the site, your readers and anonymous users of the site are still seeing the published version 1.0. It's not until you publish the next version of 2.0 when now everybody's going to see the 2.0 page. SharePoint's going to manage that entire process for you, okay? So we do have an out-of-the-box workflow. It's pretty robust that Microsoft gives us. It's called the approvers workflow. We can go through and do little tweaks to it to say when we set it up, what's the message that I want to be sent to the approvers. When I kick the workflow off, or to say I want to submit this for approval, what I can do is I can actually add in some additional comments that are going to go to the person who's going to do the approval, and I can also pick the people that I want it to go to in the approval list if the workflow has been configured to let me pick who I want to approve this. Okay, so I can't just say, I want the guy next door to me to go through and approve it because he's a friend of mine, right? Let's see here. So let's go through and see this in action here. So I'm going to come over to my VM here. Open the site up. And, of course, the first time we hit the site, it's going to take a second to warm up. So I'm going to use a little trick that I've got here. I have this little utility that we run. This is good for like development or for like those of you who are doing internal presentations at your organization. You can get this from our company website, just criticalpathtraining.com, and go to the member section. But while the site's loading, what it is that the first time you hit a site, because it's an ASP.NET application, it has to do a just-in-time compilation. It only does that the very first time, takes a second for the site to spin up. So I've got this thing over here called the Keep Alive Jobs. Once you install this little utility, you can go through and pick a site and say, I want you to simulate hitting these pages on the site every 1 minute. So therefore, it'll keep the site kind of warmed up and keeps everything running nice and fast. That's why central administration popped up. Of course, saving the change takes longer. There we go. Okay, so this is the out-of-the-box publishing site that Microsoft gives us in SharePoint Server 2010. You are probably not going to end up using this design because if you're using web content management, especially if you're using it for an internet-facing site, you spent a good bit of money on the internet license, and you probably did not just buy one. You probably bought a couple to make sure that you're you have a lot of fault tolerance and redundancy built in. And so my guess is that you also probably have your own company brand that you want to implement, not something that looks kind of lame like this, right? So you're probably not going to have the same UI, but it works for us right now. So the way the sites are going to be set up here is that we have, like in every other content managed site, you have pages, and then inside, those pages are going to live inside of folders or subsections. The way we handle that in a SharePoint 2010 is we have your SharePoint site collection, And then we have different SharePoint subsites inside that site collection. And each one of those subsites can also have subsites inside of him. Pages go inside of each one of those containers here. So I just happen to be at the top level site. You can see there's wingtip.com here at the very top. Well, kind of hard to see that. But I have wingtip.com here at the very top. And then over here, it's default.aspx is the homepage. If I go into the press releases section, you'll see that I'll jump to the press releases subsection right here. And inside his pages list, you can see where all the content's going to reside. So inside of press releases, I'm going to go through and create a new page. We want to issue a new press release. Really is unfortunate we still have the same imagery from 2007 that these two guys are acting like she has something important to say, right? So we'll come over here and say, let's create a new page here. There's another one. What's the other picture, though, that they use on us? Is it on the home page? Let's go home. Yeah, this poor lady is just so frustrated. This guy keeps hovering over and everything, and she refuses to go get a drink with him and stuff. And same with this guy. It's like he's trying some crazy hand gesture, and she's like, you're not impressing me at all. Right? And then they're just trying to get a raise by kissing up to their boss. So we'll come over here, and let's go through and create a brand new page. It's going to ask me what the page name is. So we'll just say press release number one, and I'll say create. Now, how many of you did this in SharePoint 2007? Right, so a good number of you. This is a little bit different here because you notice that I didn't have to pick the page type or the page rendering, the page layout here. This is different. Microsoft called this one-click page authoring, and it's kind of funny because back in the betas, it was truly, you said just create a new page, and poof, you had a new page and it took you straight to this. So they still call it one-click page authoring, but don't let them fool you. It's actually one-click plus one because we had to type a name in, right? That's improved from what we had in the betas because before when it was just, we're just going to create a page for you and then you start filling in the content and we'll just create the file name for you based on some random thing that we're doing. And it's basically, it would say new page one dash with a timestamp dot ASBX. We're like, perfect. That's great for that search engine optimization stuff that we've heard about, right? So we were able to convince them in the betas to say, don't do that, please. Instead, take the name of the page that we create here and go through and put it inside the URL. So it's, let's make it so you can see it. To where it would say, press release 1.aspx. So a little bit better for SEO. So in this case here, I've got this default page. But one of the things I'd like to be able to do is change the kind of a page. I don't need just a title and some content. So let me switch over here to the page tab. And I now have on this page layout button in the ribbon, I have a list of all of the content types, like article page, wiki page, product page, redirect, and welcome page, as well as the different rendering options that are available to me. One of the differences from 2007 to 2010 is I can switch content types on a page on the fly. I'm not tied to that content type from here on out, right? So that's a big improvement. What happens to the content that was on the previous, that was on the page before I switched the content type? Well, if they share the same column, that data goes along with it with the new page. But if it doesn't share the same column, so if I switch from, say, a product page to a press release, and the product page had a title and a body and an overview, and the press release has those same fields, but the product page also had, like, the make and model of the car, well, that's not on the press release. If I switch from this page to this page type, I lose some of those things, like the make and model, but the other stuff comes across. The like fields come across. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's go through and let's use image on left. So what that's going to do is I'm staying with the same page type, but it gives me a different rendering. And what you see here is it's just got a bunch of fields I have to fill in. So I've got press release here. Let's go over here for the date. So we'll pick today. The byline is some random byline. We want to go through and put a picture in. Let's find another one of our terrible stock pictures that we have. So we'll come over here. I believe they're in site collection images. Site collection images. Hello, wake up. Is this, yeah, it's responding. So what's this? There we go. They look interesting. So we'll pick them. Oh, and I don't know if you noticed that too. This is different from SharePoint 2007. Is you get this nice little light box. So as I go through and pick something like, Slow down. As I go through and pick an item, I get a nice little light box to see some details about this piece of content. So that's pretty cool, right? I got some little details here I can go through and dive into this guy. We'll go through and use this picture. I should go through and fill in some of this other stuff, like the alternate text, but we don't really care about that right now. Let's go in and fill in a caption. So this is some caption. And then I can start just filling in some content. Hello world. Actually, let's do the trick to get some real content. So word equals rand. Da, da, da. Copy, paste. So that's one of those little, that little rand trick. That's one of those little things that you end up doing in a session, and then that's the only thing that people walk away with, right? Years ago, I was in like a 400-level developer session, and you know in the command prompt, when you can do like, when you can start, like, you can DIR, and then, I don't know, like other stuff as well, DIR, CLS, and you can hit F7 and get this thing to pop up, and you can pick one of the old commands that you did. Guy's doing this like hour and a half long, 400-level developer session on doing all this complex stuff. He did that, and somebody raises their hand like, what did you do? He's like, I hit F7. We're like, sweet. And he's like, that's all I did, and I did all that session, and that's all you're going to get out of this? I'm like, yeah, for me, pretty much. Your session was terrible. I just like the F7 part. I didn't tell him that, but. So this is cool. So you got all the content right here. Now, one of the other things that's new, this is a really good improvement from SharePoint 2007, is that first of all, the content authoring piece that we're getting right here, the rich text editor, this is all 100% cross-browser, okay? You don't need to go get this Telerik control to go make this cross-browser. So even if you've got a Mac and you're doing authoring on a Safari, this is still going to work. It's all cross-browser in all the class one browsers that SharePoint supports, which is IE 7 and up, Firefox 3.5 and up, and Safari 4.0 and up, right? No, Google Chrome is not considered class one, not by Microsoft, but by the industry, right? And probably also by Microsoft. One of the neat things about this, though, I always get so frustrated using this in SharePoint 2007 in that if I had to scroll like way down the page and was editing some content, like if this is a big body, big page body, and I wanted to go through and start formatting this text, well, the controls to format the text would show up above. Oh, hold on, I got a little bit of lag going on here. There we go. The editing of the controls would show up way up here. And it's like, well, and I have to go select some text and then drag the thing down and then scroll down a little bit and then drag the thing down a little bit farther and just kind of like do like a little like inchworm thing to get down. Thankfully, we don't have to do that in 2010 because I can go through and just do all the formatting straight like this, straight from the ribbon. And the ribbon's pinned at the top of the page, right? So that's nice. You've got access to do all these different kinds of formatting here as a content author. As a developer or designer, I'll show you in a few minutes how I can lock down certain things. I can say, you can't play with fonts, you can't play with font sizes. I know you're in marketing, I know you think something is important, but we don't flag it as important with 15-point New Times Roman red font with a yellow background and a little dotted line underneath it. But it stands out. I'll give you that. Right? I'll give you the fact that it stands out, but that's not the way we want to do it. We have a special CSS class that we want you to use. So we can go through and even create, as a developer or designers, we can create specific CSS classes, and we can tell the pages to say they're only allowed to play with these different pages. I can turn off the ability for them to be able to come over and actually modify the source HTML, something that subject matter experts should never have the ability to do, right? Another thing, too, that's new in 2010 is convert to XHTML. If I created content from some other source and I pasted it in here and it's not well-formed markup, I could say convert it to well-formed markup by clicking that button, right? Me personally, I would have liked to have seen that button a bit more visible on the ribbon and have a big button you just push, or really have to have it be more toggle button that it automatically converted to XHTML and you'd have to turn that off. But I didn't design the product. You have the ability here to go through and do a bunch of spell check too before you actually publish the page. We can even go in and some of these places I can even say things like, let's go and insert a table. We'll insert a table right here. So I can say insert a table that's 3 by 2. So I can just add some content like this. Where's my thing? Right? I could take the entire table, change the design of this guy, add a little style to him, like that. But the nice thing is I'm getting the same, the contextual kind of results-driven feedback based on the ribbon, right? Based on what I'm doing in the site. So at this point here, my page looks okay. Everything's all right. So what I would like to do is go check in the page. So I'm just going to say, let's check it in. I can go through and enter in any kind of comments that I want to enter in for people to see. Like, I can make some notes on what I made changes to. And what's also nice about this is that automatically, SharePoint's going to do a quick little spell check. Obviously, it found some errors because I was just doing a little ASD, just typing some words in there. So it found a few problems. It's letting me know that. The other thing that's really cool about this is it does an automatic check for unpublished items. So what I mean by that is, if I had gone through and created this page, and I was referencing a picture or some pictures on this page, and those pictures were in my site, but they had not been published yet, SharePoint's going to do a check to see, do you have things on this page that aren't published? Because if you go through and publish that page, then the page would be able to be seen by everybody in the world, because it'd now be a published page, but it had references to items that aren't published yet. And the way SharePoint keeps things from being published is using permissions. They simply say, you don't have access to see that piece of content yet because it's not published. So what do? Your users get that great user experience of getting a login prompt three times. They try and type it in three times, and then they start seeing broken images show up. What's cool about this is that if it saw that I was referencing a picture that was not published on the site, it would have said, there's no pic, you've got some stuff that's unpublished. And if I canceled this and went back to my page, it would show me on the page in a little red dotted outline the areas that were unpublished that were going to cause a problem. So that's a really nice user feedback there. We don't really care. We're going to publish anyway. So we're going to say, all right, looks good. I'm going to come over here and say, let's go through and publish this guy. So I could go through and start a workflow, publish him, and then he would end up being published. I'm going to skip that part. Well, I'll kick it off at least. I've got one user on this machine right now, and the one user can't, the way it's the site set up is that he's not part of the approvers group, so even though it's one person, he can't go in and approve the piece. But if I want to go through, I'd have a bunch of different workflows that have been created and associated with this site. I say, let's go through and use this one. Come on, IE false sense of progress bar. We're almost done. No, we're done. And then I can say, what do you want to look at here? So please approve this page. It was due yesterday. Please save me from getting fired. Job market, not so good these days. Right? So I come over here, due date for all the tasks. It's due today. You got to finish this right now. Duration per task. How much time until it's due? I'm going to just say one. And then duration units is number of days. And CC, who else do I want to notify? Really nobody. And I'll just say, go ahead and start the workflow. So the workflow is going to go ahead and start. It contained a validation error, probably because of the day I didn't give enough time. Must be greater than the current date and time. Great. So please finish it by tomorrow. Start this. And now it'll go through and it'll kick off the workflow. And this is the part that's going to create a new task, assign that task to somebody in the approvers group, send them an email notification, and this page will be waiting for them to go through and to complete that task. And what we're going to see in a second is it's going to take us back to the page, and the status bar on the page is going to say that only certain people can see this, and it's pending approval. There we go. So it's waiting for approval here. The publication start date is immediately. But I have to go come over here, and I'd have to go, let's see if it'll let me approve it right now. Ah, it did. Oh, no approval task. So that's the problem. Yeah, so I don't have any task assigned to me. But you can see there's how the page is being rendered, like a real standard web page. We're just filling in the blanks. One of the things also to point out about this whole publication start date, what's neat about this is that if I have like a press release that I want to have the press release come out next Monday at 9 a.m., I don't have to wait around on Monday and come in at 8:30 and just have my finger over the button waiting to publish at 9 o'clock. I can go through the entire process and say, I don't want this to show up live on our site until 9 a.m. The content just magically appears at 9 a.m. It's all been indexed by search. It's all in the navigation and everything, but nobody can see it because it's been locked down by permissions. And at 9 a.m. next week, it's going to all of a sudden, the permissions are going to change and everybody's going to be able to have access to it. You can do the same thing with an expiration as well. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about managing the content. So that's the content author point of view. What about the content like owner or the site owner point of view? What do they have? Microsoft gives us a few things inside of web content management, inside of publishing sites, to help us manage our sites. One thing that they're going to give us is this thing called the Managed Content and Structure page. This is going to give us a really good high-level view of our entire site. We're going to be able to see all the sub-sites, all the lists and libraries, all the content in the different libraries, all the images. We're going to be able to find this stuff very easily. The other nice thing is it's going to show us a way to say, let me go find this page, and what is this page reference? What is it dependent on? So I'll show you that in a minute when I go through and find my page, and it'll show me that this is dependent on that picture that we referenced. You're also going to get a bunch of predefined reports, and these are going to be, it's out of the box, it's going to show things like, show me all the content that's been published in the last 7 days. Show me the content that's going to be published in the next 7 days by a scheduling, where you set a schedule up for it. Show me content that's going to expire in the next 7 days. Show me stuff that hasn't changed in the last 30 days. Show me stuff that's in draft mode or that is pending my approval. So where am I the bottleneck? So there's a bunch of reports that have been created out of the box that are going to help people find content, help your subject matter experts and your content owners find content. And I can even go through and create new reports as well. They're just predefined queries that have already been created inside of a list. Another thing that we have, that was all inside SharePoint 2007, web content management. One of the things that we have in SharePoint 2010 that's brand new is this thing called the Content Organizer, or as a lot of people at Microsoft call it, the CLAW. Whenever you talk to them about this, it's like, have you seen the CLAW? I'm like, the what? They go, the CLAW. I'm like, yeah, you didn't need this. I got the CLAW part. What is that? It's the Content Organizer. I'm not sure where this helps explain what this thing is. Essentially what this is that when I turn the Content Organizer on, what this is going to do is that it's going to allow me to go through and to create rules that are going to look at the content as it's being created and put it in different places in the site based on the different rules that I specify. So if I go through and I create a piece of content, it's a press release. Well, I could set up rules on the homepage of the site or in the main root section of the site and say that if it's of the content type press release, I want you to automatically, when they save that page, go put it over here. Don't put it inside the homepage. Put it over in this section over here. So it's going to make it to where my content owners don't have to know exactly where stuff goes. Okay? So if we take a look at that, let's see here. I've got till... I think I have another 30 minutes, so let's do, what were my other ones? Not a browser. Come over to my VM. So we'll do one of these. So I come over here to Site Actions, and I come over to Manage Content and Structure under Site Actions, and I'm going to get the Manage Content and Structure page, the only page in SharePoint 2010 that did not get rebranded with the new UI, right? That was deliberate. I asked somebody on the product team, I said, why is that? And the answer is, well, it just didn't make the cut. Okay. Anyway, so this page here is going to show us on the left a top-down view of our entire site. We were just looking at the page. We were in the pages section, and we just created our press release one that you can see is pending approval. One of the cool things here is I can say show related resources. This is a tool that not many people were aware of in 2007. And when I pick that item, it'll show me here's all the different things that this page is leveraging. It uses article left. It uses this image here. Article left is the actual rendering option, the page layout rendering option. So it uses that rendering option. It's using this image. And then it's also used by a specific workflow task that was created and assigned to the approvers. So I can see all the stuff that this guy is leveraging. I can also come over here, and I have this view. I can go and say, show me all these different reports. And so I have a bunch of different reports here that are all listed, checked out to me, modified by me, all of these different things. So this is nice to be able to go through and to see very easily who is, what pages are pending approval, and it finds just the one page that was listed there, right? So you may not have really good communication in your environment, or you may have missed a couple emails that came in, but you can see where am I the bottleneck, what things are waiting to be published, okay? The other thing I wanted to show you, let's see, there was that, there was the reports. The content organizer, I don't have a lot of time here to demo this, so let me just kind of explain where you turn this on. In the site features, let's go turn this on, the site features right here under site settings, here's the content organizer. And when I turn him on, if I go back to site settings, what we'll see is, I always forget what this is. Content organizer settings and rules. So under the settings, there's a couple things I can configure here. I can say when content is actually created and I redirect that content or I put that content somewhere else based on a rule that was defined, should the users be taken to where that content is stored, or should they just say thanks for submitting your content and be left where they started? You get to choose how that works. By default, it's going to take them to the page. Do I let them go through? Can they send can the content be sent from one site to another site? Can I go through and use duplicate submissions? Meaning that can I go through and actually take content and put it in the same spot than what another piece was already there? I can define who's available to go through and to manage different rules. But if I back up a bit and I go look at the rules and create a brand new rule here, you can see that one of the things I can do is I can say, well, let's look at the rule name. Let's create one called press releases. And let's say that, come down a little bit farther, if his content type is of type page layout, article page, right? Then I want to automatically redirect these guys to the press releases, wingtip, sites. Oh, I said I couldn't move them to subsite. So press releases aren't showing up because I didn't modify the settings for this. In the settings where I said I could send it to another subsite, I didn't check that, so that's why I don't see them. But if I did, I could have gone through and picked press releases and gone to subsite, create a new page, and would have automatically redirected me over there. The other nice thing, too, in 2007, you couldn't have folders inside of your pages libraries. Now you can. Now it's fully supported, and SharePoint expects this to work. You can also tell the content organizer to say, when I'm sending content over here, make sure that any folders don't grow to be more than 2,000 items or the number you specify. And if they do, let me go create a new folder for you and put stuff in that folder. Okay? So that's good for like financial reports and stuff like that. I can have it automatically create new folders for each calendar year or fiscal year. So let's go back and let's talk about, well, we know how to go through and create content, manage it and approve it and everything. How do I go through and create different kinds of pages on my site? So we look at this, we call these things page types, and then there's also templates. The page type, think of this as like the schema of a page. You're just looking at it like a tabular piece of data, right? It's just a record inside of a spreadsheet or a database table, and it's got a name, and it's got here's all the content that's going to go on that page. That's going to be combined with a template that's going to say the title goes here, the image goes here, content goes here, date, byline, all that kind of stuff. Where is it going to go? The first one, the page types, you're going to define these using a content type. The content type, just a standard SharePoint content type, is going to be the one that's going to define the different schema of the site here. The template itself is going to be used to go through and define what the rendering is going to look like. When you create a page type, right, there's a couple rules you have to follow. Excuse me, really just one. You have to inherit from one content type called the page content type, and that's because that has everything that publishing sites need to facilitate a content page, specifically things like the scheduling information or the start and stop date. This is where you're going to create additional fields and say, I have these other kinds of fields that I want to show up on the page. You can create these page types using the browser, using SharePoint Designer, or get your developers involved and build it using a SharePoint feature. Another thing that you can do is you can create the page templates, the different rendering options. These are just ASP.NET pages, ASPX pages, and they're going to be associated with one of the page types that you've created, right? These you can create using SharePoint Designer or, again, get a developer involved and build it with it as a SharePoint feature. Now, I have to jump on my soapbox for a second and kind of give you a bit of guidance here. You have two different ways of going through and carving out areas on your page templates, on your page layouts, and saying, here's where editable content can actually go. You have this thing called field controls, and then you have web parts. We're all SharePoint users. That's a safe assumption to make, I hope. So we all pretty much know what web parts are. The challenge with web parts in a publishing site is that you don't really have any control over what goes in those web parts or what web parts are going to go on the page. as a developer or a designer, I'm going to create one of these new page templates, and I'm going to have the option to go through and just say, that's a web part zone, that's a web part zone. But you're basically saying, that's the Wild West, that's the Wild West. You can put anything you want inside of here, content owners. I have no control over what you put in here. I have no control over the formatting, the styling, the different content that you're going to stick inside these guys. Your other option, and what you should really try and inside to, are field controls. Field controls are going to be placed on a page, but they're statically placed on the page, and I'm the only one as a developer and administrator that can define the different rules associated with it. I'm the only one that can say it cannot have tables in this rich text area. It cannot have different styles of formatting. It can only have these specific types, right? My end users can only add content to these different areas, but they can't create new field controls. They can't move them around. They can't change any of the rules around them. Okay? 90 to 95% of all publishing sites that people are creating, you're usually going to be using web content management because you want a structured site. You want a structured look and feel. You want a good history and all that kind of stuff associated with your content. If you're choosing field controls, well, you should be choosing field controls in those scenarios. Web parts are going to be a bit more loosey-goosey kind of a thing. They're going to be a bit more kind of Wild West, all right? And anybody can go through and stick stuff inside those, all right? There's a big difference, though, between the two, and this is really important. When SharePoint 2007 came out, most people didn't pick up on this. When they were building web content management sites, it was the cause of a lot of support calls at Microsoft. Tried a couple blog posts on the SharePoint team blog. I worked with the product team a lot, tried to go through and put some stuff on my blog as well. None of that worked. Finally, we wrote a white paper that's up on MSDN now that talks about understanding the differences here. The big thing is if you look at the table here, the big difference comes in to the second item here, or the second and the third item. But it all comes down to the first column, or the first row. Content storage. Where's the data stored? When you create a new piece of content, those different fields that you're creating inside of your content type, that's making sure the data is stored with the page itself. Field controls are simply windows into that data. They're simply showing the data that's living inside that field. They're simply going through and saving or updating the data that lives inside those fields. A web part doesn't store his data with the page at all. A web part stores his data somewhere else. He says, here's a URL to the page, here's the current user, and here's the data for this web part. Go save it inside the personalization engine. Happens to be inside the content database, but that doesn't matter. It's in a totally separate place on the page. Where's the implication with this? It really boils down to versioning. Whenever you create a new version of a page, it's going to keep the previous versions around. So I'm going to be able to see the old content that was on those different pages, except if it was a web part. Because web parts don't store the context of the version of the page. They store the context of the user that's on the page. That's how web parts support personalization. But they don't have any concept of what versioning is. So I frequently got calls, and we saw this tons of times in the SharePoint 2007 release, right after it came out, was people would call up and they'd say, look, we can't find the history of our page. We just had to fire our consultant because he could never show the history of our site. And it got down to be pretty easy. It was like, okay, switch the page in edit mode. Like, okay, do you see lots of boxes on your page? In 2007, do you see lots of orange boxes on your page? Yes. You have lots of web part zones. You don't have a history. Do you see lots of little gray tabs? No, I don't see any. Those are field controls. You have none. So where's the history of my site? Well, you don't have one. That's why he could never show it to you, because you were doing everything with web parts and probably the content editor web part, right? If you're going through and you're new to publishing sites, if this concept is a bit foreign to you, I strongly recommend you go to MSDN, look in the SharePoint SDK and from 2007, the same thing applies to 2010, and look for an article about, it says, Understanding Field Controls and Web Parts in Publishing Sites and Web Content Management 2007. The article walks through the differences between field controls, web parts, and then at the very end, we very politely call out the content editor web part and essentially show you how you may have challenges using the content editor web part, but it's my most politically correct way of saying the content editor web part is the most evil thing in the world when it comes to publishing sites, and you should never use it. Okay? I couldn't say that. That part got stricken from the article. But so when should you use them? Use a field control when you're doing content. When do you do web parts? When you're providing some sort of functionality, rolling up of content, right? showing the stock feed, showing a weather ticker or something like that. Okay, in the 15 minutes or so that we've got remaining, let me go through and create a new type of page here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to the top level of my site, and we're going to go create a brand new kind of a page. So we're going to site settings, and let's create a new content type. Now, I've got, what is that? We don't need two browsers. I've got some content here that I want to create, and anybody into saltwater aquariums? Okay, see, I have a captive audience. So what I did was I just went to Wikipedia, and I just grabbed a couple fish. I'm getting ready to build a saltwater aquarium. So I went through and grabbed a couple fish off Wikipedia or off some other site, I can't remember where it was, and it just see some properties here. So let's say we were going to go through and have a new aquarium store, and we wanted to go through and put have a new section of our site that's going to have all these different kinds of fish that are on our that we sell. So I'm going to create a new kind of a page here, and this page is going to be a saltwater fish, and he's got to be based off of the page content type that I was referring to earlier. So publishing content types page, I have to do that. So then we'll come over here. And we'll throw this in a new group called Den Haag. I'm trying. Let's see here. So what we want to do now is we want to create a couple columns. Now, we've already got a couple columns defined here, like the title is already defined. So what I want is this is the information about the fish, and then these are some different elements associated with them. So let's create a couple new columns. So let's say not select columns. Let's create new columns. So we'll go create from a new site column. We'll do the fish family. And we'll stick them into the hog. We'll do the, fish family. How about we do color form. Color form. And let's do a care level. And then finally, we want to have the body of the page describe this thing. So I'm going to go through and pick from some existing columns because I know that I already have a page content, and then I also want to go through and put a picture in there as well because I'm going to have a picture of these guys as well. And then like every good user, you just click through any error messages or warnings and say okay. Say okay. So there's all my fields. So now that I've got my page type defined, I need to give it a rendering option. So I'm going to fire open SharePoint Designer, and we'll open up our site. Nope, not SIP. Stop. Hit open. I love how SharePoint Designer does this, right? I say open up a site, and he goes, oh, you mean this one? I'm like, yes, that looks just like what I was trying to get to, right? Oh, sorry. Now we get our false sense of progress bar. Your experience might be like mine when every time you try and open up SharePoint Designer the very first time and connect to a site, of course it won't do it this time. You do this forever. It may ask you to log in. It may give you like a little teaser to say I'm done and come back. And then you have to kill SharePoint Designer completely by just killing the process. And when you do it the second time, it opens up just fine. Is it just me or does anybody else have that experience? Wow. It's just me. This is the American feature. So we do this, we say whatever, we go like this. Best feature of SharePoint Designer is how we can destroy it. Wow, if we can bring up the destroyer. Come on. I need task manager for task manager, apparently. SP design, blow away, bye-bye, come back, open it. No, I said no Visual Studio today. I lied. Intuit.com, open, come back to Visual Studio, say go away, come back to you, we'll make you go away, SharePoint Designer is going to tease me again. Please just open the site. Lovely. Let's try this one more time. Hasn't done this to me in a very long time. Okay, go away, go away. SharePoint Designer. Opens nice and quick. Open the site. www.wingtip.com. That is my site, right? Yep, wingtip.com. Open. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, to strip HTML, there is a way to, let me see if I have, there was a way to, there's a way to where it cleans the HTML out. Like it went through and it would, like when you would copy it from Word, it strips out so it automatically does that. It'll strip out all the Word junk that it adds. I was almost positive that they had this somewhere, and I can't remember where it is now. Oh yeah, you can definitely go through and paste this text, place this plain text. You can definitely do that. But for HTML that's already there, I can't recall. Now let's see. Let's just save this guy. Are you open? Oh my gosh! Are you kidding me? The one time I can't kill that work. Let me think here. External. You don't need external access. Could it be a networking thing? Doesn't happen to me since the betas. All right, last time. Come over here. Ta-da, ta-da. You're all internal. Oh, oh, well, I guess that's progress. This is better. This will work. There we go. Oh my God. No, 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 no. Hey, it worked. Yay. I had nothing to do with that. Okay, yeah, when all else fails, just unplug the network. All right, so let's see here. I went to go learn about WCM from this guy. He told me just to click through every warning message and unplug the network. Who the hell is this guy? So I'm going to come over here into the page layout section, and we're going to create a brand new page layout. Now, it's going to be nice. Usually, it remembers the last content type that was created that I could use. So it says, oh, well, you're looking for the group called Den Haag. And then you've got the page layout called, or the content type you created called saltwater fish. I'm like, yep, that's exactly it. So we'll call it saltwaterfish1.aspx, and the title will be just rendering one, okay? So what it's then going to do is it's going to create the page layout, an ASPX page, and it's going to load it in SharePoint Designer in a preview mode so I can see what this guy looks like. It's going to still go through and try and keep rendering the master page here. So while it's doing that, I'm going to go through and start adding in some content fields. So I'm going to say, let's go through and insert some content fields. Now, you're going to find this under the controls tab group that you see, or the controls group inside of the insert tab on the page. And then you see the SharePoint button that's there. This thing works a little strangely because if at first you don't see what you're looking for, just try, there's more, try again, right? And then here's everything, right? It's kind of funny. It's like the first time, let me go get some stuff, but I'm only going to give you one section. You got to try it again. Oh, look, there's some more stuff. So it's like the classic little feature of like going, look, this doesn't work. I'm like, did you click it? Yeah, well, see, it's still not there. Well, let me click it. Boom, it worked. How did you do that? Stupid users. Or you could just say show toolbox and get it over here on the side, which is the way I prefer to do it. And we'll just highlight the HTML ones. And down here at the very bottom, what you're going to see are a list of all the fields that go with the page. And then at the bottom, it's going to go all the fields for the specific page content type that you created. So I'm going to go through and add in the title. We're going to add in the title. We're going to add in the body of the page. So here's page content. We'll add in the picture. And then let's go insert a table. So I'll say go down to the bottom here, and we'll do insert a table of I think I just had three of those different fields. And the different fields that we had are the care level, the fish family, and the color form. And then I'll come over here and type in care level, fish family, and color form. And then we'll make all of these fields bold. And then I need to go through and reorder some stuff up here because we've got title. Let's see, image field is our picture. We'll put that here, and the title will go above this and save our changes. Now, I could obviously do a bunch more rendering here or much more modifications here to make it a little bit cleaner. In the interest of time, I'll leave that alone. But I do want to show you, if you go through and I pick this rich text area and I look at the view, task pane, CSS, tag properties, over here it's going to allow me to go through and to modify what things I can do here. So I can say, I don't want people playing with fonts, font sizes, so false, false, no font sizes, false, no font menu, no headings, no URLs, and no tables. And then we'll just save our changes. Okay, saved our changes. So let me go back to my saltwater fish here. I saved the changes. I'm going to check it in. And because this is still like a piece of content, really, I need to go through and publish him. So I'm going to go to edit all of his settings, go look at his properties in the browser. I'm going to approve these changes that I've made so that now when I go to my site under, like, say, press releases, and I want to create a brand new page, we'll call this what was the name of that fish? The firefish. And we want to switch this guy over to use the new page we just created. So here's our saltwater fish with our rendering here. Now come over here and we'll grab all of this content here, copy. We'll drop it all into this main body here. All right? We probably want to go through and add a little bit more break lines in here. Nothing here at the very top. I could go through and do some formatting, but as you see, a lot of the formatting still is now disabled. I can't go through and do this stuff. I can't go through and adding in a table here or any of that kind of stuff because I locked that stuff down. Users can't do that. I can come over here and say, let's upload a picture. And one of the neat things with this is that I can add a picture, but it's going to make it a lot easier for me to insert a picture into like just main content areas like this. Let's not use that one. By going through, and I can say, do I want to use a picture from a specific URL, from a picture that's already in SharePoint, or do I want to go through and upload one into SharePoint? And I'll say, let's go through and upload one. So I'll go pick my picture here, which is not there, which is here, upload my picture, and it'll go through and upload it, and then automatically, let's see, we'll check it in. There's my picture right there of the firefish. Looks kind of cool. Come down here, and we got some other level here. So his care level is easy. His fish family is something I don't want to try and pronounce right now. And his color form is this. And from here, I can go through, go to the page, and let's say let's check it in. And now it's going to go through, found a bunch of spelling errors. That's kind of funny. We'll hit check it in. And then there we go. There's our page, right? I could go through and create new page layouts. Oops. Oh, what am I doing? I'm clicking the wrong things. I could go in to create new page layouts. And if I created another one and I created for saltwater fish right here and did the same process you saw me do a second ago, then when I came back over to my site, where's my fish? Over to my site, and I went to go check this guy out, I could modify the page layout. Now, because it was already created here and it was pending the publication stuff, I can't change it on the fly. I'd have to really publish this guy. But I could go through and change the template and say, use the different template that's available to me. And it would give me different options underneath the saltwater fish option. Okay? Pretty easy, though, going through and creating new kinds of pages on the site. So with that, that's the gist of what I wanted to show you here was to give you an idea of what it's like to kind of work with a content managed site, creating content, managing it, and then creating new content, new kinds of pages, and then rendering options on a publishing site. I found that this is an area that a lot of people have not really explored or really taken a lot of depth in or a lot of interest in. With SharePoint 2007, there's web content management in SharePoint 2010 didn't get a ton of attention specifically in this release from compared to the previous release, but a lot of the things that we did get that are improvements are all based off things that we complained about in 2007 that had nothing to do with web content management. It was things like accessibility, like the markup of a page, like the ease of reuse of content, the making it easier to author content, less postbacks. All of those things, Microsoft addressed those things, but they weren't really web content management problems. They were general SharePoint issues. So things like the ribbon, the things like how SharePoint is now cross-browser out of the box. It's accessible, meaning WCAG 2.0 AA compliance out of the box. All those kinds of things, we benefit from that inside SharePoint 2010, and specifically around web content management. So with that, I'm happy to take questions actually for a minute or two. I've got another session immediately after this. But first, everybody's going to take off. I appreciate you taking the time this morning to come to early session. So thanks a lot.